Some churches, you always stand for the reading of God's Word, and some churches, even beyond that, have everybody shake hands with somebody before you sit down. You know, that gets your blood flowing. Just a suggestion. You didn't have to sit on me. Exodus chapter 20. See, I'm starting off good. 20. Chapter 20. Sounds good. You know what Exodus 20 is, don't you? Ten Commandments. No, we're not going to go there necessarily. We're not looking at the Ten Commandments tonight, but just seeing if you're familiar with the context. It was a special time, wasn't it, when God gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel? It was a personal time. God speaking, God sharing, the children of Israel listening. It must have been really something to be able to observe all that was going on. It must have been quite an experience. I mean, I say that just because of what we read. Well, the Israelites, they don't seem to respond the way I think that I would respond, or the way you would respond. I don't think you would respond this way, the way the children of Israel did. So it's kind of odd that they did, but it looks to me like it was a pretty powerful experience. Like it would have really been an encounter that would have stuck with them. It would stick with me for a long time. The last verse of the Ten Commandments is verse 17, and I want to begin at verse number 18. Just read a few verses here. I'm not reading very much, very long at all, but beginning at verse number 18, and all the people saw the thunderings. See, there we have it. All the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, the noise of the trumpet, the mountains smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. I don't understand that. Unless it was so powerful that within the human, they really were afraid. And that's possible. I can understand that. I can grant them that. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." So you can see fear now coming out in their words, in their expressions. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." Let me pause here. Let's just stay here for just a moment. Maybe I'll repeat that portion of the verse. "Speak thou with us, we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." That's what their thought was. Moses said, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." To keep you in the way, to keep us in the way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of proper understanding. The fear of the Lord will keep us in the right path. Does that mean, let me ask you the question. I don't know that I have a full answer to it, but let me ask you the question. Does that mean that when a person begins to stray away, that their fear has diminished? The fear of God, the awesome respect and reverence that is due unto God. That when a person begins to take on things that they once agreed were wrong, strain out into the paths of the gray areas that will lead to the dark areas. You know, we can go through this over and over again. Judy Williams covered it so clearly, so often. Brother Barr covered it so clearly, so often. It's the incremental changes that take place in a person's heart that lead them down a pathway. That his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The people stood afar off. I could branch off here and take a little tangent and go over into the New Testament where Peter followed afar off. Do you remember that? I'm sure you remember the story of Peter following afar off, and boy, that's a preacher's haven when you get to thinking and talking about Peter in that scenario, because that is quite a message to be preaching to people. But here we have it in the lives of the children of Israel. They stood afar off. They were hanging back. They didn't have a desire to get close. There was something of a fear that took them beyond the reverential fear that God was wanting them to have. And they had a human fear of death, of dying. And it kept them from communing with God the way God wanted them to commune with him. Maybe we can understand why the children of Israel, when we read all of that and try to picture all that's taking place, the thunderings, the lightnings, all the trumpets, the noise, it's probably a very fearful thing. Especially if you're afraid of lightning and thunder. And they couldn't get themselves into the position to go and present themselves to the presence of God to commune with him. They couldn't see. So we can understand that as well, because quite often we find ourselves in the same place of fear of the unknown. Have you ever been there? You've had fear of the unknown. That's what holds a lot of people back from following God, is the fear of the unknown. That's what holds a lot of people back from surrender, complete surrender to the will of God, is because of the fear of the unknown. They can't see too far down the path. It's dark. The disciples that Jesus called were his 12 chosen men that followed him. But Jesus also indicated to them that there's a lot of things that I want to tell you and I want to give to you, but you're not prepared for it. You're not ready for it. There was the unknown, and Jesus knew that if he would have spilled the whole thing to them, they might have forsook him. They might have taken off. Just like you and I, if it were to come to us and say, oh, Jesus would come to us and say, well, you're going to die the death that Paul dies. Or you're going to die like Peter. How many of us are going to stick around? It just throws a different facet to our surrender. You say, well, that shouldn't matter. And somebody may say that, and somebody may hound on that and say, well, it doesn't matter, because a complete full surrender opens ourselves up to. But you see, that's it. The unknown is what holds people back. The darkness was there. So that darkness was presenting them with a big, blank unknown. They were hindered by fear. They were lacking in confidence. They stayed away. They were afraid to approach. Now, I think that we need to understand here very clearly that this picture is also a good picture for us. Even though that the future is unknown, even though there's a lot of unknowns around us, and the surrender to God's will may be a big unknown, that it's in the midst of that darkness that we perceive as darkness, that is where God is. God shows up in the most unlikely of places. God was in the darkness. Isn't that what it says? Where God was. It was 2 years ago this fall that Matt Malloy was here for Youth Revival, and one of the messages that he preached 2 years ago, I believe that he titled it, "Are You Listening?" I don't remember exactly what his text was. I don't know where, remember where he was drawing it from, but I remember the title, "Are You Listening?" Because God is speaking, and there's times that God speaks to us in the most unlikely of places and circumstances. Maybe you would remember, and more than likely you don't, but the little story that I told a few years ago of needing something from God. I needed a word from God. And I spent all day walking the woods, asking and begging and pleading with God that he would speak to me, that he would talk to me. It wasn't until the next day when things began to shift in my mind and I wasn't so focused in on the demand that God speak to me that I began to hear his voice in a still small voice. You know, why did God do that? Why does God do that to us when we need his answer now and in this format? Well, it's quite often now in this format is my now and my format, and not his now and his format. So the people stood afar off. The people stood back. The darkness was thick. The darkness was real. Moses, though, drew near unto the thick darkness. Isn't that what it said? Let me get it up here a little closer. Do you still have your Bible open? Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. What made Moses different? Is Moses different from us? Is he different from you? Is he different from me? Oh, Moses was a great leader. He was a great man. He was head and shoulders above all of us here in spiritual stature. But then we go back and read that Moses was, he was caught up in mistakes and failures. He did things wrong sometimes. He wasn't always the spiritual giant that quite often we think him to be. What made it different for Moses now? It's apparent that Moses had some fears. It's apparent that Moses didn't like everything that went on around him. And yet we find that Moses drew near. Let me give you 3 points that I believe could have been the basis for Moses drawing near, and it can be the same basis for you and I to draw near. He had an earnest desire. Something was in his heart Maybe it was simply because he was the leader of this great number of people. I kind of hesitate to think that way, though. I think that there was something more than that, that Moses wanted. He wanted to hear from God. He knew he needed to hear from God. Sometimes darkness is brought to us in order for us to depend more on God. Darkness comes to us in different ways. You're around young people very long in an atmosphere of young people to being free to share and to talk, and they talk about the problems that they have. They talk about the darkness that they experience. And quite often, I think that older people have a tendency to sit idly by and think, oh my goodness, they don't have a clue what darkness is. They don't have a clue what problems are. But the fact of the matter is, their darkness and their problem is just as dark and just as heavy of a load to them as what it is to somebody else's burden that they're carrying. So we can't say, well, that's nothing, that's no big deal. It's the learning process that God is taking them through, takes us through. The darkness is real, and it comes in various ways and directions, from different directions, and it burdens us, it burdens down upon us, and the struggle is real, and it's a dark place quite often. What is it that we do with that dark place? Do we draw away, or do we draw near to see what God has to say in the midst of that darkness? Moses had a desire, an earnest desire, and all the fear that he humanly had was being pushed aside. All of the doubt that he humanly had was being pushed aside. The difficulties that would come upon him on his human side was pushed aside because he had a desire. He had a desire to hear from God. The second thing, he had faith. He believed that if he followed after God, if he was obedient to God, that there was going to be a good and a proper outcome to the story. God called him there, and God was going to be faithful to him in the midst of that darkness. Same it is for you. Same it is for me. He had an earnest desire. He had faith. Thirdly, he had courage. As we trust in God, our boldness can increase. It may be weak at first. We may struggle with courage at first. But as our desire is there and our faith is firmly grounded upon His promises, it provides us a courage to go. And it doesn't say it specifically, but it would almost indicate here that in the midst of all of the negative things going on, that there was a boldness that came on Moses to go before the presence of God. Isn't that what the New Testament has challenged us to? The veil being rent at Jesus' death, giving us access to God Himself. Come boldly to the throne of grace and ask. He had courage. You may face darkness. You may face turmoil. You may face problems. And you don't know what is out there in the darkness. But remember that God is in the darkness. God is in the area that we can't see. Don't pull back. Don't draw back. But press on. Press on to hear from God. I'm anticipating that in revival meeting, that God will speak to us as we draw near with desire and faith and courage. Let's stand together.